Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 308, the latest in our series on the Beatitudes and effective communication, lessons for preachers and teachers. So what would it be like to preach and teach through the filter of the Beatitudes? What would the impact be on us as speakers and on our congregations as listeners? Today, we're going to look at the third Beatitude in this series, which is Matthew 5 and verse 5, and it reads, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." They will inherit the earth. Now, this Beatitude follows naturally on the first two. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They kind of fit together. And we're going to talk a little bit about the meaning and the context here, and then what it might mean for you and I as preachers and teachers. So first of all, the meaning of this Beatitude in the context of, well, where we are here in the Sermon on the Mount and the set of the Beatitudes. What does the word meek mean? The Greek word means to be gentle, humble, considerate, courteous, all very nice things. And in a sense, the blessing is paradoxical because these meek, gentle people are going to inherit the earth. And the proud and the boastful, the pushy, seem to inherit the earth in our experience, don't they? And this may have bearing on our preaching and teaching. Sometimes it seems like the most effective people are the most demanding, the most loud, the most energetic. But is that necessarily the case? Was Jesus like that? I mean, isn't he our ultimate example? The same Greek word here used for meek is also used in Matthew 11, describing Jesus when it says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, I am gentle." That's the same word. "And humble in heart, you'll find rest for your soul." So Jesus was like that. Similarly, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, "Your king comes to you gentle," or meek, "riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus, as somebody said, was meek. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He wasn't dragged. He allowed himself to go where God wanted him to go. He cooperated with God. It seems to me a spiritually meek person is like that. They're willing to follow God's lead wherever it takes them. Numbers 12 describes Moses as a meek man, as seen in his refusal to defend himself and in choosing to reject the comforts of Egypt for a better calling from God. It was a humble self-emptying made at his own choice, just like Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, for example. It says about Moses in Hebrews 11:24, "By faith, when he'd grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter." So he was taking a meek posture there. You could also look at the Apostle Paul, who was very gracious to people who'd hurt him, Christians who'd hurt him, who stirred up trouble for him while he was in prison. Nonetheless, he was gracious towards them. That's the attitude of a meek person. How might that affect your preaching and teaching, that attitude? The meek people see themselves as unimportant, even if they are important. Moses was important, but he sees himself as not important in a sense. Jesus is strong sometimes with people. He does correct them, like when they accused him of being in league with Beelzebub, but he doesn't correct them to protect himself. He does so to correct their thinking, not to make himself feel better about himself. He's not threatened in his identity. Meek people aren't threatened. They're secure about their identity. They're not concerned about their reputation in the eyes of other people. Jesus wasn't, was he? They don't speak to explain themselves, to shore up their reputation, to make themselves feel less bad or less insecure, perhaps because of an attack. But they speak to help people understand things that will be helpful for them and their hearers. Carson says in his commentary on this, "Meekness is a controlled desire to see the other's interests advance ahead of one's own." That seems right. That's Jesus. A controlled desire to see the other's interests advance ahead of one's own. That means when I preach and teach, I must be more concerned to help people grow and move on with God than I am to achieve my own agenda of what I think they need or what I think the church needs. A meek person relates well to people because they see themselves as being under God along with all the others. It's flat there. And as R.T. France says in his commentary, "God will give them, the meek, the high place they would not seize for themselves. They might be offered to inherit the earth, but they wouldn't take it. But then God says, they might have the opportunity to take the earth, but they wouldn't take it. They'd only accept it if God gives it to them. That's the meek, and that's why they will inherit the earth." So what does all this mean for you and me as we preach and teach? Well, first of all, what it means is we approach the responsibility and the opportunity to teach and preach from the perspective that we want to bless other people, not we want to be blessed. It is often the case that when we preach and teach, we do receive much back. But that's not why we are doing it. That's the fundamental thing. Secondly, about preparation. A meek person in their preparation for teaching and preaching is going to make a concerted effort to listen to two sources. Firstly, to God. Listening to God, praying and asking God, reveal to me in this text what it is you want me to say, what it is you want me to understand and communicate. As Dallas Willard says in his book, Hearing God, meekness allows God to move us by swaying our judgment. What a lovely phrase. Meekness allows God to move us by swaying our judgment. Will you allow your judgment to be swayed, your opinions to be changed and shaped by God? Spending time in prayer with a meek attitude will help us with that, so we're more in tune with God. And the second kind of listening is about listening to other people. In his book, Redefining Leadership by Joseph Stowell, he says, meek leaders listen carefully and thoughtfully, processing the ideas and input of others. Isn't that true? Meek leaders do that. They listen carefully and they process thoughtfully what they are hearing from other people. When we're preaching and teaching on a topic, it does us well and our congregation to ask others what they think about a topic before we actually present on it and as we prepare. So listening to God and listening to other people, and thereby we'll make sure that we don't obscure Jesus. In our preparation, it's still got to be about Jesus, not just the preaching, but in our preparation. We're not asking ourselves so much, what do I want to say, but what does this tell me about Jesus? And that's the fundamental question. Meek speakers are unafraid of the reaction they're going to get from their message. Therefore, we ask what it is that God wants us to say, regardless of whether we want to say it or not. Much like those Old Testament prophets who felt like they had to say what they had to say, not because they wanted to, but because it was a fire burning inside and it had to get out. That's a meek speaker, not someone who's preaching fire and brimstone because they enjoy it. Far from it. But if they have to preach strongly, they do so because they sense that it is God's calling on them and the reaction matters not. So those are some thoughts about preparation and the right attitude. What about presentation? I'll suggest a few thoughts. Firstly, we aim to blend together what Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians of encouraging, comforting, and urging. Putting those three things together. Sometimes there's more encouragement, sometimes there's more comforting, sometimes there's more urging, but we balance those things together because in meekness we want to serve. Perhaps you and I are better at encouraging or comforting or urging in our base sort of personality and nature, but we bring these things together in service of the people we're speaking to. Also, we seek to inspire more than demand. You and I don't have the right to demand anything. We're just a Christian. God may demand some things of us, but we lay that as God's demand, not ours. And prayerfully, then, as it is God's demand, if it is the case, then it will be inspiring because it comes from God, not from you and I. Often we fail to be helpful to our congregations because it's us doing the demanding and not the Lord. Also, a meek preacher and teacher will be strong in conviction, but not overloading his list or her listeners. Strong in conviction. I really believe this is true. It's very important, but I'm not overloading people. That's a healthy perspective. By overloading, what I mean is either expecting people to do things they cannot do. Young Christians can't live like mature Christians. And mature Christians, sort of older in physical state, can't live like a baby Christian who's maybe 25 years old if they are 65 and 70. They can have the same conviction and they can have the same devotion, but they can't necessarily have the same lifestyle. So not expecting people to do the things they cannot do, and not expecting people to do the things that you won't do, that I won't do. We've got to have a clear conscience about these things. So we're strong in conviction, but we're not overloading people. Who said this? Carson said this in his commentary on this passage. Poverty of spirit has to do with a person's assessment of himself. That's the earlier beatitude, especially with respect to God. Meekness has more to do with his relationship with God and men and women, other people. Meekness, yes, with God, but also with other people. We, in our preaching and teaching, if we are meek in our preaching and teaching, we'll come across with conviction, but we'll still come across as human, not superior, not like some superhero Christian. Like if all of you were as good as me as a Christian, then, you know, God would really be at work here. No, let's work together on the things we're talking about from this passage. Me, you, all of us together. Let's be human. One of the nicest compliments I was paid this last weekend, and I hesitate to use this because it's about me, but it is relevant because it happened this last weekend, and it's true. I was in Tallinn at the invitation of the church there, had a wonderful preaching, teaching weekend, I came back thoroughly refreshed. I mean, what a wonderful congregation. I felt like I got more out of it myself than they did. But one of the nicest things that was said to me was how complimentary a number of people were about the fact that I didn't come across too demanding, but clear, and I came across as human, as a brother, as someone who was not haughty, but humble about my preaching and teaching, that, you know, I haven't got all this down that I'm teaching you, and we're learning together. And I took that as a very high compliment. And thank you to the church in Tallinn. You're a wonderful group. I'd love to come back again soon. But this is so important. A meek person, I'm not saying I'm ultimately meek, but I'm learning, I hope, I'm aiming at being a human speaker, not some kind of fake, pretend sort of person I think I ought to be. Well, that'll do for today. Next week, we're going to get into the next beatitude, but for today, I'd like to know what you think. How can we preach and teach in such a way that is informed by this wonderful beatitude from Matthew 5 and verse 5? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are our congregations who are preached to and taught by meek preachers and teachers. Maybe they can inherit the earth too. So what kind of questions does this bring to mind regarding preaching and teaching? And why not take some time to pray over this and the other beatitudes, asking God to reveal to you how they can flavor your speaking? And if God reveals anything to you, please drop me a line. You can add any comments wherever you hear or see this recording. Please leave them publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we learn best when we're learning in community. If you've got any questions, drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. And if you'd like to sign up for my newsletter, go to my website, which is malcolmcox.org, and I'll send that to you once a week, and you'll get a free gift with that. And I hope and pray that the next time that you prepare a lesson, as I am for this coming Sunday, that I will preach with this spirit, along with all the other beatitudes here, that I'll preach poor in spirit, that I'll preach as one who does mourn, and I'll preach as one who is meek and trust that I and the congregation together, well, we can inherit the earth. Till the next time, keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care, and God bless.